Support for Under the Radar comes from Wellwithall. Wellwithall believes that self-care is community care. Premium products crafted for your daily wellness, from sleep support to heart health to your daily regimen. 20% of Wellwithall's profits are committed to leading the fight for health equity. They won't stop until it is truly Wellwithall.
Under the Radar means hearing about things you didn't know you needed to know until you hear them.
It's a serious look.
Hear about the issues that don't get the attention they deserve.
Under the Radar doesn't get caught up in the day-to-day.
Surfacing issues that are not talked about in mainstream media.
I think it's something that connects us to each other.
Under the Radar is all about discovery.
I can be guaranteed voices I haven't heard before.
But also the questions.
Under the Radar is one step ahead.
I'm Callie Crossley. This week on Under the Radar with Callie Crossley, each year, more than 1 million American women go through menopause, an experience many don't understand and few talk about. Often referred to as the change, menopause has long been thought of as an old woman's condition. But the women suffering the most common symptoms, hot flashes, brain fog, and fatigue, are often far from their twilight years. What's more, most women are still in the dark about how to navigate this normal transition, even though there is now much more information and new medication available. Later in the show, hot, hotter, hottest. That's what hot sauce aficionados crave, and there will be plenty for local fans to sample at the upcoming Hot Sauce Festival.
From spicy drinks to hot peppers from local farmers to, you know, spicy foods. So if you like spice, that's the place to be.
The inaugural Rhythm and Spice Hot Sauce Fest premieres next Saturday in Cambridge. But first, joining me, Dr. Jan Schifrin, a reproductive endocrinologist and obstetrician gynecologist and director of the Massachusetts General Hospital Midlife Women's Health Center. Hi, Dr. Schifrin.
Hey, Callie. Such a pleasure to be here today.
Also with me, Marion Femilis, a patient at Massachusetts General Hospital using Veozah. Hello, Marion.
Hi, everyone. Very nice to be talking to you guys today.
And Dr. Tina Opie, an associate professor in management at Babson College.
Hi, Callie. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, this is a conversation that is going on all around in some places, though a lot of people are afraid to have the conversation because for so long, Dr. Schifrin, just talking about menopause has been kind of taboo. Now, we all learn, we women, about puberty. What is it about menopause that seems to have gone behind the curtain?
Great question, Callie. And I think the good news is, just as you mentioned, it is coming out from behind the curtain. Many more women are really, I should say people, many more people are really speaking about midlife changes, midlife symptoms. You know, women at midlife are often at the peaks of their careers, and they really deserve for these years to be comfortable, pleasurable, productive. And so it is nice to see menopause coming out from behind the curtain.
All right, just so everybody's on the same page, what is menopause?
So menopause is officially defined as the cessation of periods or menses after 1 year. The official definition, though, I think, Callie, is actually less important. You know, it's good for research. But as far as clinical care, when a woman is experiencing bothersome midlife symptoms, that's really the time she should present to a healthcare professional for care. And whether she has had her last period 3 months ago, 9 months ago, 12 months ago, or 18 months ago is actually less important. And no one is expecting that. And I really do think that's one of the areas we really need to educate women more. Women in their early 40s are often experiencing some hot flashes, sleep disruption. I'm a bit of a domino hypothesis believer, and I think sleep is really critical to well-being. So it may not just be the hormonal fluctuations, but if you're having some night sweats, you're not sleeping well, you know, you might notice mood changes and cognitive changes. So, you know, it's a really hard time. And mid-40s is also a really hard time. These can be really important career times. And then women are really sandwiched in their 40s. They're also starting to experience the needs of elderly parents. And then, of course, in terms of all of these bodily changes. And so we really need to give women in their 40s more power to receive the care they need.
All right.
So now that we've set the table, we know what it is, we know how it presents itself, and it often shows up earlier. There's no wonder that so many women are confused about it. I wanted to give my listeners a sense of the level of confusion out there in the world before I get to my other guests. So here is Tamsin Fadel, a TikTok creator focused on menopause awareness, asking people what they know about menopause.
Can you tell me what menopause is?
I don't know.
Stop getting your period.
Oh, gosh. I'm trying to learn what that is because I've been told I'm moving into it, and I just don't understand it. And unfortunately, there's not a lot of information out there about it.
Well, as we'll learn, there is actually a lot of information out there about it. We'll get to that later. But before we do, part of that 10-year period, or give or take a year, that perimenopausal before you're actually in menopause, confuses women because they're like, they're not looking for it, as we've said. And what is happening? I was taken aback when I saw this on an OWN network reality show called Love and Marriage DC. Here is Ashley Silva trying to figure out what's going on.
I've been sent to a rheumatologist because I will also get like really dizzy. They've checked to see if I've had different brain fog is also is also one of them. But to check to see if I've had any like lupus. Mm-hmm. Everything has been coming back negative.
How long has this been going on?
8 years.
Everything that you've already told me has checked off a box for perimenopause.
Yeah.
So there you have it, Dr. Tina Opie. What's out there, the confusion, the not recognizing the symptoms? Where were you when your menopause first started?
Sounding like she did. Because, I mean, I think it's ironic that when she was asked to name her symptom, she forgot. I very much relate to that. I was having insomnia. I had insomnia for years. I was sweating profusely. I would be at work and forget my train of thought. And I would, you know, I of course created strategies. I'd start writing things down, et cetera, et cetera. I actually have a portable little fan that I carry in my purse. And I decided to just tell people at work and around me what was going on. Look, I'm perimenopausal. I'm having tremendous sweats, hot flashes and insomnia. And so I just might need an extra second. I was very clear about what was going on, but it was very confusing. And I did call my mother and say, Mommy, why didn't you tell me about this? I really, you know, I've talked to my daughter and son about what I'm going through, as well as my husband, because I think it's critical that we pass on that information.
Now, I understand you went to doctors trying to figure out what was happening, and you didn't get an instant response, which seems odd because it's a normal process. So you would think that would be the first thing that a lot of physicians might offer, but that didn't happen for you.
Correct. That did not happen, Callie. In fact, I actually felt like I was losing my mind when I would speak to medical professionals, because it felt like it was just me creating these symptoms. And I was shocked that no doctor, and I was going to women doctors, by the way, was able to recognize the constellation of symptoms that I was having. And I'm still not necessarily on a quote treatment. I've begun taking some herbal supplements, but I cannot wait to hear more from Dr. Schifrin and Marion to learn about the treatments that are out there. And it's ironic because I've recently joined the board of a menopause organization because I was so frustrated with the experiences that I had.
Wow. I mean, that's the thing, Marion, that would make you crazy. Now, in your case, you had a different diagnosis that led you to what's called a medically induced menopause, meaning there were drugs that put you into menopause deliberately as you were trying to cope with the other situation. So please tell us about what was happening.
Yeah, sure. No, Callie, that's definitely correct. So I was 40 years old when I was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. And I went through about a year and a half of pretty aggressive chemo, radiation, multiple surgeries. And I think that I was under the impression that cancer treatment was going to be kind of the worst of it. The post-cancer medications and the post-cancer hormone suppression is what has essentially put me into medically induced menopause. I think, so I work in the oncology field. I'm actually a scientist. I've been doing histopathology and immunohistochemistry, specifically oncology related, for about 20 years. I really have had a lot of education and a lot of knowledge, you know, on the female reproductive system and female cancers and such. But I think I never expected, even knowing what menopause is like, I never expected to have the side effects that I started to have, or the effects that I started to have. The worst of it was definitely the hot flashes. People say hot flashes, and I think they picture someone getting really, really hot and sweaty, which is miserable. But they're not quite even that when you're in menopause. They are more like a mini panic attack. Your body, it's completely systemic. Your heart starts to beat out of your chest really, really fast. You start to get a little bit of nausea. You start to get a little dizzy. You usually need to sit down. You lose your track, you know, of thought. And then the last stage is just this, just suffocation from the inside. You get incredibly hot, and you feel like you can't breathe. And that lasts several minutes, and it completely breaks up whatever you're doing. You know, they would ruin days of my life.
Had anybody warned you that you would go through a menopause because of the medication?
My breast cancer was triple positive, so hormone positive. So in order to keep the cancer at bay, you need to suppress all the female hormones, essentially. So my period stopped as soon as I started my first chemo treatment. And I think I was having hot flashes back then too, but I was having so many other side effects from the chemotherapy and the other medications that it wasn't something that I really focused on. I knew that I was going into medically induced menopause. My period stopped immediately. And here I am, 42 years old, or 41 and a half, however old I was when I finished cancer treatment, and really just, you know, feels like you're a little bit of a wilted flower, for lack of a better term. So that was, yeah, very, very difficult mentally, more than, you know, certainly physically with the hot flashes, but definitely mentally quite a bit as well.
So Dr. Shiffrin, back to you. Both Dr. Opie and Marion have talked about the hot flashes specifically, but we have a range of symptoms. See, one of the things to put on the table is that not every woman is the same. So there are actually some women who don't get hot flashes, which is another reason they don't even know they're in perimenopause or menopause. But so want to make that clear. But when it comes to probably one of the most difficult and uncomfortable, as described by both of my guests, hot flashes are really quite something.
Absolutely. And actually, points raised by the two previous wonderful speakers. Well, Marion, that was probably the most beautiful and powerful description of hot flashes I have ever heard. So powerful, because it's what my patients say all the time, is the anxiety. You know, it really is almost a panic attack. And we do think that there's almost a noradrenaline rush during a hot flash. And as you said, you know, your pulse goes up, your heart rate goes up. So I think it's important, you know, there's a lot of cartoons about hot flashes, and I think they really do belittle how important this symptom is.
Well, hold on one second, and I'll show you how often that symptom is discussed out in the public. Here's comedian Deborah Giovanni talking about her experiences with hot flashes.
Menopause is terrible. All sorts of terrible things happen to you. Number one is the sweating. I never stop sweating. You have hot flashes during the day. Oh my God, at night you lie in bed and sweat. Night sweats. Lie in bed and sweat. So I'm not stupid. I sleep in the tub now. I'm not dumb.
There you go.
You know, there's a lot of, it feels like there's a lot of support and education when it comes to the positive sort of life changes that happen with a woman, right? So puberty, childbirth, they're all, you know, you're kind of like, you're blooming, like things are happening. These are great, wonderful things. And then menopause is like, like I said a couple minutes ago, it's like the wilting of a flower. Like no one talks about it, right? It's like the end of something. It's very much viewed as a negative. And I think that's probably partly where the lack of conversation is coming from. Who wants to talk about it, right? So that definitely needs to change for sure.
The irony is that while people look at us as wilting flowers when we're going through menopause, the sex is fantastic because I'm not concerned about being pregnant. And I haven't had the symptom of vaginal dryness yet. So I'm like, I feel luscious and vibrant and amazing. My husband's this is one of the best times. We're like at a sweet spot in life. And I feel as though the world really, it infantilizes us as women at this, you know, with cartoons about hot flashes. These are major medical changes. And also I feel real juicy and lovely. And I think if we could frame it, yes, there are some dramatic changes, but it's also the beginning of a new kind of living that I think is phenomenal.
All right. So Dr. Schifrin, I want to get back to this new treatment because that's very helpful for this one particular symptom, which does tend to be negative for those who have experienced it.
Absolutely. So it is really exciting, I would say, to have the first truly effective non-hormonal treatment for hot flashes. So just to go back, there are effective treatment for hot flashes, and really the mainstay of therapy right now for basically healthy women at the midlife transition with bothersome hot flashes is menopausal hormone therapy. Now, clearly there are women who choose not to take hormones, and there are also women, unfortunately, who really should not take hormones. And Marion is the perfect example. Breast cancer, we really do consider an absolute contraindication, an absolute reason not to use menopausal hormone therapy. And the other major contraindications would be, severe heart disease, leg or lung clots. The only other thing I want to say about hormones is if you are doing well, you're one of those maybe 25 to 30% of women who is not really bothered by hot flashes, you don't need hormones. You know, there's this whole anti-aging, you need estrogen to stay healthy and beautiful and have good skin. And that's not true at all. So I think two really important take-home points. If you are healthy with bothersome hot flashes, especially if you're under 60, you may be a great candidate for hormones. You should speak to your clinician. If you are doing really well with menopause and you don't have bothersome hot flashes, you don't need estrogen. Think about other ways to stay healthy. So having said that, now we're going to talk about this really exciting new drug. And really the mainstay of treatment, non-hormonal treatment, were the SSRIs, SNRIs. You know, those are very popular they're essentially FDA approved for depression. So things like escitalopram or Lexapro or venlafaxine, Effexor, a lot of drugs women have taken for mood symptoms do work for hot flashes and women's sweats, but they are definitely not as effective. Literally about a year ago today, this is the exciting one-year anniversary of the approval of a drug called fezolinetant, and its trade name is Veozah.
Hold right there, doctor. I'm going to let my listeners hear the commercial for Veozah.
Veozah, a prescription treatment for moderate to severe vasomotor symptoms, the medical name for hot flashes and night sweats. With hormone-free Veozah, you can have fewer hot flashes and more not flashes. Veozah is proven to reduce the number and severity of hot flashes day and night.
All right, go forward.
So what's also really exciting about this drug is that for decades, we have not known the true, what we call pathophysiology, or the reason for hot flashes. I think if this were a symptom that affected 75% of men after 50, we might know more about the pathophysiology before 2024. And so what's very exciting about this drug is that it stemmed from an understanding of what causes a hot flash. So what's fascinating is the same neurons that are really important for puberty are actually the troublemakers when it comes to menopause. So we think that these neurons basically get hyperactive with menopause. They're trying to drive the ovary to make estrogen, and the ovary can no longer respond. So they're kind of on alert. They are firing pretty fast. And we think the hot flash is just a byproduct, that these neurons have some kind of connections to other neurons in the brain in the hypothalamus called heat sensitivity. fencing neuron.
The point about this drug is that it definitely does work.
Exactly. And what's so exciting is it works by targeting the actual biology of hot flashes. And in very well-controlled trials, it reduces the severity and frequency of hot flashes.
Dr. Shiffrin, this has been an answer for so many people who've suffered from hot flashes. But you've mentioned the cost is one thing that is a drawback.
Absolutely. I would say the biggest drawback to my providing this to patients who are good candidates is that it is currently extraordinarily expensive. So insurance will typically deny it. We have to write a lot of letters. We have to make it clear that there are really no other options for patients before they'll approve it. And even once it's approved, copays can be very, very high.
All right. So, Dr. Opie, are you using Veozah because you also mentioned that you'd had a breast cancer scare, so you were a little concerned about all the hormone situation, as Dr. Shiffrin was explaining. Where are you with it?
So thank you for bringing that up. My mother had breast cancer. She's a breast cancer survivor. And so I've been frightened to try any hormones. But after hearing this conversation, best believe I'll be driving to my doctor. So I will be absolutely pursuing this as an option because I'd never heard of it. I had never heard of it before. I'm really excited to learn more, and I'll have to follow up and let you know how it goes.
All right. Very good. And for you, Marion, this has been a game changer in many ways.
It has. I'd like to say it's sort of saved my life a little bit. It's definitely been a game changer. That's the best way to put it. So my husband sent me a text message 4 months ago, and he's like, hey, look at this medication. And I read about it. I hadn't heard about it at all. I reached out to my oncologist, and she mentioned that she's prescribed it to a couple of patients, and she would definitely be on board to try it with me. I think I was expecting to see some change within a couple of weeks of starting this medication, and I remember taking my first pill and feeling better almost, I think that day my hot flashes were a lot less severe. I was having less of them already. And it was such a, obviously such a welcome change, but also very unexpected. It was a very pleasant surprise. I was hoping it would work. I was certainly hoping for the best. I wasn't expecting a lot. I was trying to kind of curb my enthusiasm. And then the next day and the day after, it felt like my hot flashes were almost gone. And then I would have a couple of day, and then I would call them my warm flashes, not really even hot flashes. So it was really, really a game changer for me.
If you're just tuning in, this is Under the Radar with Callie Crossley. I'm Callie Crossley. And here with me are Dr. Jan Shiffrin, director of the Massachusetts General Hospital Midlife Women's Health Center, Marion Thamalis, a patient of Massachusetts General Hospital using Veozah, and Dr. Tina Opie, a management professor from Babson College. We're talking about navigating the symptoms of menopause. Now, Dr. Shiffrin, this is, something that you as a physician and as an expert in this area can point to and say definitely works, has been tested, FDA approved. Your concern, however, is that as there is more conversation about menopause, lots of stuff is out there that is superfluous. It really has nothing to do with what's going on with women's symptoms or bodies. And you, I know, want to issue kind of a warning about that.
People have now realized that midlife women have money to spare. We're often working and, we have control of our funds. They want to feel better. And so, I was speaking to a researcher who was looking at products on a shelf, and there were two face creams. They were exactly the same ingredients. And one was, take care of your menopausal wrinkles, and it was twice as expensive. So there are a lot of websites where you think you're getting education, and the next thing you know, they're selling you compounded hormone therapy through the internet. It's very frightening. So be careful of your pocketbook and be careful of your mind. Really try to stick to, there's a wonderful society. Menopause.org is the Menopause Society website. that is completely non-commercial. Everything on there is accurate. The American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists.org. Again, you want to stick to the websites by the medical societies. And the moment that someone's trying to sell you something, click off. Don't go back.
So in the gray area, there are some products that I'm seeing that potentially are not harmful, but it's not clear to me they're useful. I'm going to play an advertisement I've been hearing about and seeing recently, and I don't know if it works. And it stems from something that Dr. Opie told my producer, and that she wished there had been a way to assess, well, where is my level of hormones so I can kind of figure out where I am in the menopausal process. And this product claims to be able to do that. This is Clear Blue's over-the-counter test, which claims to identify a woman's menopause stage from perimenopause to postmenopause.
It's an over-the-counter test plus an app. It works a lot like a pregnancy test, except you have 5 of these sticks, plus you enter the results into an app.
The results are indicative of your current hormone levels.
Does that work?
Please don't spend your money. So really, just tracking menstrual cycles is a very effective way to know where you are in the menopausal transition. The more you've skipped, the longer the gap. Once you've started missing 3 menstrual cycles in a row, you're closer to menopause. And so I think people are paying a lot for the sticks, but it's simply the app that tracks your menopausal, you know, how many periods you've missed, that's probably giving most of the information. Now, the only time I think a blood test is very useful is when a woman's under 40 and starting to miss periods or have hot flashes. Clearly, at that point, we do want to make sure that it might be early menopause or something we call primary ovarian insufficiency. That's an important health condition, and we do need to make that diagnosis with an FSH level. But if someone is over 40, starting to skip periods and having some classic symptoms, please don't spend your money.
All right. So Dr. Opie and Marion, I would like to hear from you if you have a couple of things to offer for women who are going through the experience and but are working and having full lives, as you both are, and how they navigate just being in their sort of daily space of work and regular life that you think works, that has worked for you. Dr. Opie?
Yes, thank you for that, Callie. So the first thing I would say is, as we've discussed on this call, is to educate yourself and to not be shy about educating the people around you. I mean, this is actually a workplace issue, and that's how I came to really look into this as my personal experience, but also the effects that it has on women at work. And this is actually affecting whether or not women go up for promotion, for example. So I think it is critical that we educate our supervisors, our peers, our colleagues, and of course, some of us may prefer to keep some of these things private, but that doesn't mean that we can't come together collectively as women and share some of this information if you'd rather not provide it as an individual. The other thing that I would say is sort of echoing what Dr. Schifrin just shared, is to really, when you're educating yourself, seek out viable information. The final thing I'll say is that it's critical that we spread this information to people who are younger. There are several women who have come to me and said, well, Dr. Tina, you look like you're having a fabulous life. You're living wonderfully. I've been exercising, lifting weights, even more so than I did when I was younger. Taking herbal supplements, making sure that I'm drinking tons of water, meeting with my doctors on a regular basis, and proactively advocating for myself, asking that people could take my symptoms seriously. And I'm very persistent, if not dogged, in that pursuit, because we all have to own our own health. And that's the final piece of advice that I would leave.
Marion.
You know, for me, I'm a busy mom of 2. I work in the biotech industry, you know, went through really severe cancer treatment, aggressive cancer treatment. And for me, being in menopause really felt like I needed to treat myself a little bit better. And what I mean by that is, you know, do nice things for yourself. You know, during menopause or after my cancer treatment was over, there's so many times you just feel down. And you feel like, this is very much a personal perspective, right? So I very much felt like I was losing my femininity a little bit, you know, especially after my double mastectomy. Like it felt like all my female hormones have been shut off. And so for me, I really thrived on, you know, social functions, doing stuff with my friends, you know, bitching, moaning, and venting to my girlfriends when I wasn't doing well. Physical activity, you know, and just getting a little bit of that dopamine release and adrenaline rush was extremely, extremely helpful. Very much staying hydrated. That was a game changer as well.
And Dr. Shiffrin, the last word from you, what do you really want women to know as they face menopause and are a little bit frightened about it?
So I think that one of the take homes is this is an incredibly individual experience. It will have positives and negatives for each woman. Some women will have a more positive experience and others a more negative. But the most important thing is, both of you have said, talk about it. Keep up the conversation. Friends, family members, healthcare providers, reputable sources on the internet, good books, really educate yourself. And, you know, this is the next third of our lives. So do embrace it and just try to make these years as, you know, healthy and happy and productive as one can. And I think, as both of you have said, you know, really focusing on the long-term health, you know, women who exercise, women who eat well, those things make a huge difference for this kind of next chapter.
Well, thank you all for joining me.
Thank you for having us, Callie. This has been great.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been really wonderful talking to everyone.
Callie, thanks so much for having this really important conversation.
Dr. Jan Shiffrin, a reproductive endocrinologist and obstetrician-gynecologist and director of the Massachusetts General Hospital Midlife Women's Health Center. Marion Themalis, a patient of Massachusetts General Hospital who uses the prescription menopause medicine Veozah. And Dr. Tina Opie, an associate professor in management at Babson College. Coming up, in Instacart's 2024 state-by-state survey of the most popular hot sauces, Massachusetts residents picked Frank's Red Hot with a heat index of 1.6. But that's just one of the commercial hot sauces that have become local favorites, including Cholula, Louisiana Hot Sauce, and the ubiquitous Sriracha. And there will be plenty more to sample next Saturday, May 4th, at the first Rhythm and Spice Hot Sauce Fest. That's next. This is Under the Radar with Callie Crossley. I'm Callie Crossley.